Step out of the shadows and into your sunshine. For generations, we have been limited by what society, colleagues, family members, spouses, and friends think that we should be or become. Slowly, we are molded into their best version of us. One day, we look in the mirror and wonder how we became so far removed from our inner light. These are the stories of powerful women and men who broke their chains and embraced their true purpose. They authentically share their most vulnerable moments and how they found the strength to step into their sunshine. Join us as we share our journeys toward breaking the chain of societal expectations for women and men around the globe.
Come and join La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience in Mazet-Saint-Bois, France, taking place May the 13th through the 16th of May 2025. This event includes immersive holistic workshops ran by experts in their field. Are you tired of feeling fatigue, lacking energy, or desire to go after your dreams? This event is for you. Regain your spiritual, emotional, physical, mental power by being there. And every moment of the event is an opportunity, is an invitation to thrive and regain your power and your health. Visit www.rachelcoudronevents.com for more information.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Step Into Your Sunshine, hosted by yours truly, Rachel Coudron, the mind behind the upcoming holistic experience, La Forêt de Lumière, which will take place May the 13th through the 16th of 2025. Today, I have a very special guest with me, and I would love for her to introduce herself.
Hi everyone, I'm Kayla. I'm from New Zealand. I should say Kayla Collingwood, could be any Kayla otherwise. I'm from New Zealand, but I've been living in France for the last few years. I'm a classical singer and a music voice stagecraft educator and everything online creator, basically. And I take my background in traditional classical singing methods and bring it into different contexts and help people to engage with classical music and stagecraft in new ways.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Kayla. I would love to dive in and ask you, how has your background influenced who you are today and your path you took to becoming a classical singer?
That's a very big question. So I grew up in quite a sheltered kind of lifestyle, you could say. And I had a lot of family, not family pressure, but more societal pressure because my family was very well known and like public figures in a way. And so I had a lot of difficulty to find out who I was and to really feel comfortable being able to express myself. And so when I discovered classical music and theatre, that really just unlocked who I was. I was always a very creative person, had my own opinions and feelings, very strong ones, but I never felt confident to share them until I discovered these ways where I could engage with myself and with my environment and other people and realize that we're all interconnected, and everything that we do and feel has an impact on someone else, and vice versa. And when you're in a stage kind of a setting, that comes to the forefront in this very focused kind of time element. There's no external things, you're just who you are and what you are creating in that moment with whoever or whatever else is right there. Which is quite freeing in a way, but it does take a lot of prep work as well to get to that. So I hope that answers the question.
That's very interesting. Because for me, I liked singing when I was growing up, and I liked the idea of theater, but that was something I never did. Because I think for me, I never really had the confidence to go out and perform in front of hundreds of people. And so I would love to know for you, it gave you like unlocked yourself and you were able to find who you were. And can you just go into details really how that occurred? Because from someone from an outside perspective of theater, I think of like people, they're performing, they're taking on this character for a moment, you know, they're practicing with their team to perform to get to a point where they can do a performance. And that's all I really see. So I would love to know more about that.
So there are a lot of theatre practitioners and a lot of philosophies, a lot of beliefs, a lot of personal work that you do and research to really work on yourself and on removing any barriers in your life as a human, which prevent you from being able to engage with a character in a free kind of connection with them. Let me just think a little how to answer this. And when you're in a theatre workshop or a singing lesson or anything like that, the whole thing is a process, and you're getting yourself from a point, overcoming whatever barrier is getting you, stopping you from getting to that next level, figuring out the tools that you need to be able to get past those. And ultimately, doing what you can to be able to engage with the artistic moment that you want to create as freely as possible. It's quite difficult to explain, but for example, there's one theatre workshop that I remember going to when I was doing my studies. And what we had to do in that workshop was we were in a circle and we had to throw and catch juggling balls to one another, and progressively there'd be more and more added into the group. And what you had to do was only focus on what was being thrown to you and throwing intentionally to someone else. So if there was a ball that was flying right next to you and you thought it was going to hit you in the face, but it was thrown to someone else, not you, then you had to try to realize that it's not your job to catch that ball, it's the person next to you. So you're thinking about something in such a different way than you might naturally do it. If you're someone who's always wanting to help someone, for example, then kind of fighting that impulse, it's a very interesting thing. There are so many things like this that can happen in theatre environments, and that really just you're not just creating characters, you're also deeply in touch with yourself and your own characteristics and experiences.
Oh, that's very interesting. Because I never really thought about it like that, in a sense of to get to a certain place artistically, when you're performing, and this is a little bit of an assumption for me, you must have to be able to overcome some of the limitations that your own body and your own psyche puts on you, of like, can I be this person? Can I be this character? Can I do those things? Can I take on that personality? Can I really dive deep and give the performance that's needed to convey the purpose of this character?
Definitely, there is that element, but when we kind of reframe that, it can totally change that. I was talking to a student recently about this who she's quite new to my work, and so there's been a lot of this reframing at the moment. And we've been working a lot on the fact that when we are working with character, we're not pretending to be someone, we're creating them. We're believing that they exist. Even if they were, for example, a biographical character, we're not creating that person that they were in real life. We're creating a new version of them, and we're injecting who we are into that, and what we believe about them, and what our perceptions are of them, and what we want the, if we have an audience, what we want the audience to know about them. We have, as if we're on a stage performing, we have a responsibility to the audience to create this life and to make them believe it. So we have to believe it ourselves.
That's very true. I think that's actually really impactful for a lot of things in life. Like we, even as business owners, we have to believe in ourselves first before other people will believe in us.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's a good
So
life lesson.
I saw something the other day about how anyone who is a creative, in order to be creative and to go out there and make all of this stuff, we have to be completely delusional because we have to just have that relentless self-belief and not care about other people's perceptions of things and just trust that what we have to say is worth something.
Hey, that's very, very impactful. Thank you for sharing with us. Now, for all of you guys listening, Kayla is going to be a practitioner at La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience, and I am very excited about that. And I would like to ask you, Kayla, what are you going to be offering there? And how do you think that your experience in theater and voice translates into helping people at a holistic event?
So, I work in groups and privately, and so I will be doing that as well at the retreat. My group workshop is one which I call the embodied voice, and let me just think how to remember how to describe this. It's been a while. So, what we do in this environment is we simulate a theatre workshop environment. We work with principles from different theatre practitioners. I consider what is happening with the group, and it's very improvisational from my perspective and from the participants' perspective as well, because we see where the group is as a whole, what they're comfortable doing, and how to take them to the next level, basically. So we work with ourselves and our own sensations of ourselves within the space, within whatever is in that space, interacting with others and using our voices ultimately to connect with those things as well. And so we really learn how to try things in a safe theatre environment and see what we and our voices are capable of in different contexts. And when I've done this in the past as well, I've been able to work with people in smaller groups to bring things that they've struggled with in work, for example, things that they've wanted to say or express in an office environment and weren't able to, and give them the opportunity to do it and to try out different ways that they would have liked to maybe say it and see what they're capable of. It's totally different every time I do this workshop, so it's kind of hard to say. But that gives you a kind of an idea. It's bringing theatre and voice principles, putting them in an environment where it's not for the stage, it's for you as a human being, and just seeing what happens. And then I will also have my one-to-one offerings as well. So I have one-to-one version of that. Basically the same thing, but we can really hone in on people's individual things that they would like to deal with, work on. I have more traditional singing type coaching as well, but you don't have to be a singer to do it because we're going to be working more on learning how to express yourself through song. So we'll take either a song that you know already or a traditional folk song that you can learn very quickly, just that you can learn how to express yourself with your voice in a new way. And then the other one-to-one offering that I have is helping you to engage with classical music in different ways. Often we hear classical music, but if we aren't familiar with it, then we don't necessarily know how to actually listen to it or engage with it. And so I bring in different elements. So, for example, if people might enjoy art or journaling, then they can do something creative at the same time. We can discuss what they're hearing so that they can really process it. And also, we'll discuss how they can bring classical music into their day-to-day life and how it can benefit them. So, those are the things I'm offering.
Thank you for sharing that with us. So, going into your offerings, do you have the belief that classical music can help with mindset or can help with depression or anxiety or other mental health or other mental health or emotional ailments.
Definitely. I think music as a whole can, not only classical music, but classical music does have some specific things which make it particularly useful for dealing with those things. Now, classical music is not only calm and it's not only meant to make you relax. It can trigger all sorts of different emotions and mindsets. It can motivate you to do something that you've been wanting to do and haven't had the drive to do, just like any other genre of music. If you have something that's upbeat, lots of percussion in it, then it can really put you in that frame of mind to go do stuff. There is, of course, the more calming element as well, which, if you have like a more slow-paced rhythm, that can help. And what is useful in classical music is that often you get a lot of repeated rhythms, and sometimes they actually, in certain works of music, they synchronize with your heart rate and all sorts of things like that. It's quite interesting. There's a lot of research, well, not a lot. There's some interesting research into that. Yeah, and just the fact of also getting your mind into a state where it's focusing on something else other than general day-to-day life, I think is useful as well for mental health.
I thought so interesting. I had no idea about it, the heart rate.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of when I was back in Oklahoma and I was teaching. I did this activity with my students one time. I thought it was going to be fun, combining writing and music. And so they were in third grade. They were 9-year-olds at the time. And they couldn't write. So we started a story. And I picked like 7 or 8 different types of music. Just some had words, some were only instrumental, fast, slow, hard, soft, all of those types of things. And then we rotated. So they would write for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then they would rotate, and a new song would come on. And so you would be starting a new story. Like each the kids would read the story, and then they would continue it with the new music. And it was quite impactful to see at the end how the story changed. Excuse me, because with the faster or scarier or more intense music, the story got way more intense. And then with like the softer melodies, like floral, happy songs, everything was good again.
I was thinking today, just a random thought, how people wear like different perfumes, for example. I was thinking, imagine if people had like a soundtrack that they had with them, like they wear perfumes, like how would that affect their how they go about their day? Because we know that things like scent have such strong impacts on what we do and how we're feeling. And yeah, sound does as well, but it's not something that we carry around with us to the same extent that we can with something like fragrance. Yeah, just a
Hey.
random thought I had today.
No, but that's very interesting. It's something to like dive into and think about, and how like how that would relate to society and real life. And I even think about sound as in more recently, I've been listening to some motivational excerpts or podcasts or videos on YouTube. And depending on who's speaking, like the power in their voice or the softness or how they're present on the video, it really makes quite a difference on how their message is received. So I'm thinking not only in just not only in like mental health and mindset, I'm also thinking like a performance, as in when you're a speaker and you go on and what is your stance, what are you trying to convey, what is like the volume of your voice, and how whole is it? How rich does it sound? Does it sound intimidated? Does it sound afraid? Does it sound confident? And I'm like thinking of all kinds of ideas of how your workshops could really help the general public.
Exactly. And I think people tend to get quite caught up in the word performance as well because they feel like they have to be faking it. But like I was saying before, it's about believing what you're sharing. And when it comes to things like public speaking, you have to believe in yourself and your message, and then as you build up the techniques and things, of course, as well, but that will express itself through its voice. If you don't believe what you're saying, then whoever's listening won't believe it either. It has to come from deep within you. And that comes from doing a lot of self work. And in the workshop, we do self work as well. And you'll go into it being a different person than you'll come out of it.
Oh, I love that so much. And now I'm like, oh, I want to go to Kayla's workshop.
Yeah,
I want
come
to be there. Absolutely, 100%. And I am so honored to have you at the event. And I know you're going to blow people away. And I think it's such a unique take on holistic healthcare, holistic modalities, and therapies. And because sometimes people love to put holistic alternative medicine into boxes and say, like, oh, well, it's just yoga, it's just meditation, it's just mindfulness, and that's all. That's all the options, and there's nothing else. And really, what I am bringing forward in this event is I want it to be like a movement, a lifestyle that you choose to step into this type of way of living and in a holistic way that you think about your mental health, you think about your physical health, you think about your spiritual health and your emotional health, and how all these different therapies and modalities that we're bringing together for this event can aid and support you on your journey and empower you to take back your life, to take back your health, to take back your confidence. And move in a direction that's really what's in the best interest for you.
Definitely. And one thing that I bring through my workshop all the time is that although we talk about the body and the voice being separate entities, they're completely intertwined. And so anytime we are working specifically with one or the other, we're still working on both. And we are impacting how we are as a whole. Most people are not incapable of making sound. And the way that we produce sound is all through our body, and how we use our voice also affects our body. And yeah, there's all these interconnected links, and with the different modalities that we will be working on in the throughout the retreat as well, all of those will impact one another too.
Yes. Oh, you just said something that really captured my attention was how you use your voice affects your body. Because I have always had the thought process that more of the opposite, like how you're using your body affects your voice. But I'm thinking here, just in real time, if you have a softer, more reserved voice, or if it's a little nervous and you have more hesitations or or interruptions, I wonder, does your body shrink as well? Do you have less of a stature? Do you have less presence?
Definitely. And I mean, that's something that people can experiment with at home as well when they're listening to this, is they can say something in a more louder declamatory way and then bring it down to a softer way and see how their body responds as well without them even thinking about it. And we really notice it, of course, when we are interacting with other people, but not so much with ourselves. But obviously the way that we use our voice, it does affect the physical presence of other people. For example, if you have got a parent and a child, if the parent is upset at the child, yelling at the child, you can see the child's physical reaction to that. And so, of course, it's going to have the same effect when we're talking to ourselves as well, when we're hearing our own voices.
I thought it was so fascinating and interesting. And for all of you listeners and Kayla too, so we'll have another practitioner, and her name is Goli, and she focuses on self-defense. But the reason that I think this is interesting is because really that the two of you guys are going to go hand in hand. And so even though that you guys specialize in totally different modalities, is she also talks about like the tone of your voice when you're projecting something for self-defense classes. And so, oh, it's going to be so great. Great. You guys are going to be phenomenal. And together, it's just like, yes, it's going to be fabulous. Because I think both of you, we'll learn from each other. Both of you, if somebody attends both workshops for both you and Goli, it's really going to be like a whole experience of this is really how powerful my voice can be.
They'll be holistic powerhouses.
Yes. I also think it's like most people in the world, I believe, wouldn't put a voice coach and a self-defense instructor together.
Yeah,
They wouldn't
why
be in
not?
the they wouldn't
Why
be in the
has no
same
one done this?
sectors.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you guys are like gonna have so much in common, and also that the attendees are gonna gain so much by attending you guys' workshop, because also for them, they've never put those two sectors together. But then when they're there and they're experiencing it in real time, I'm gonna be like, oh my God, it's gonna be fabulous.
Yeah, we'll be opening up whole new worlds.
Yes. So I would like to ask you, Kayla, is why do you think that people should attend this event?
I think, like you said, I think it's a really good opportunity for people to engage with things that they might not have necessarily considered as something which is going to be beneficial for their well-being. There are so many things that we kind of put in another corner, something like theatre or self-defence. We see it as having one purpose and not necessarily as being relevant to our own lives and lifestyles. But sometimes once we actually engage with it, we realize this actually has a positive impact on me, not necessarily how I expected either. And just being able to have the opportunity to try those things and see what you really connect with and what has that impact that you can take away and that you might like to go and do later, or that you might just want to keep for that one period of time that you're at the retreat. At least you've tried it, you know something new that you can take away and you can talk to other people about it. Yeah, and I think also going to something in a different location as well, it puts you in a mindset where you are open and willing to learn, and it gets you away from your day-to-day distractions, gives you a bit of a break. And I think that's really important as well when it comes to well-being.
Hey, those are all excellent points. The one that really stuck out to me was the impact in an unknown way. When you go to a course and you're like, yeah, it's going to be about, I'm a performer and this is going to be great for me. And then all of a sudden you come out of it with something else. Or that same person goes to an essential oils or the self-defense instructor and they're like, wow, actually, this has really impacted multiple parts of my life. And that's really my goal, is to focus on and holistically on our mental, our physical, our emotional, and our emotional well-being. Because I think that so many people in my own life experiences have segregated them all. Like, okay, you have physical hip pain. We're going to focus strictly on that and nothing else. Or you're anxious and depressed, so we're going to focus only on that realm. Or I'm sad and I'm grieving. Or I feel disconnected to the world and disconnected to people and disconnected to my job and I have no purpose, like more of a spiritual type of crises that you might be going through. And everybody likes to segregate them and say, okay, I can help you with this. And really my purpose, it's like a movement to put people into the environment of holistic living. Like all of these things can help you take back your life. They can help you in all the facets of your life, not just one, but many. And you can begin to unpeel the layers of your psyche, your humanness, your pain, and say, ah, this allows me to feel again. Ah, this gives me relief. Ah,
Definitely.
I know how to go to the next step. I know how to become the person I want to be, or I can show up for my kids in the way that I want to, or I can begin to live the life I want on my own terms. You begin to have empowered choices.
Exactly. We're so complex as human beings, and sometimes finding the causes of things, we can't even find just one single root cause because everything we've ever done in our lives, seen, lived, experienced, it all makes us who we are. And so that is however many years, however many seconds, moments of things that our bodies have, and not just our bodies, but our entire being has taken in. And so sometimes, yeah, we just need to find whatever is affecting a specific touch point in order to impact our overall self. I was just thinking when you were talking about like an image of, yeah, like an onion. And you know how sometimes when you're peeling an onion and sometimes you'll find one bit that is like a little damaged underneath the surface. And yeah, sometimes we don't realize that that's there until we are in an environment where it's suddenly exposed. And then we think, oh, I need to deal with that. Yeah.
That's an excellent point. And it reminds me of a conversation I just had about 2 days ago with my husband. And I was talking about how thankful I was for my life and the place I am right now. And even though things in my personal life are hard and there's been some great losses for me recently, I'm still thankful for where I'm at. And I went back and I said, I never knew, my body never knew how stressed I was. And that goes back to when I first started my holistic journey. I was teaching in an elementary school in Oklahoma, and I worked easily. I would get there at like 7:15 in the morning, and I might stay till 6 in the evening every day, because there was the teaching time, but there was also all the prep, the grading, the downtime from maybe having a stressful day, and all the interactions with the children. It's like sometimes you just need time on your own, and if you go home first, then it's like you have children, or you have spouses, or you have people that want to interact with you, and you have to kind of calm down. And I was living with severe pain at that time, severe in my hips. And I had all kinds of medicines, injections, pain management doctors, all sorts of stuff. And it wasn't until my counselor told me, like, you have to get out of this environment. Like, you have to. And I'm like, no, that's not an option. And financially, I just came up with every single reason of why it wasn't possible. And then finally, I took myself out and I started down my journey, and I did a lot of things, and now I'm here. But when I was discussing with my husband, I thought, my mind and my body didn't even realize how stressed I was. Like, it was just, that was the everyday grind. Like, this is how I feel every day, so of course I'm not stressed. But
Yeah.
it wasn't until I took myself out of that environment where I realized, oh, actually, that's what stress looks like. And just like your onion analogy is like, until you take that rotten piece out, then you don't even realize that you had the rotten piece to begin with. And
Exactly. And yeah, it being in an environment where you were able to see it, where it wasn't hidden away.
yes, it's so important. Well, Kayla, thank you so much for being on the podcast, Step Into Your Sunshine today. And all you listeners, thank you for tuning in. We both cannot wait to see you at La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience, May the 13th through the 16th of 2025. You can jump over now to www.rachelcoudronevents.com. And if you type in, very important here, you have to type it in. It will not be available anywhere else, so you'll have to remember it, podcast, and then you will receive 50 euros to use at the event with Kayla or another practitioner. So you'll definitely want to use the word podcast so you can grab that freebie. And remember, it's not there unless you put it there. So you have to put it in to the code podcast. PODCAST. I can't wait to talk to you all very soon. And thank you again so much, Kayla.
Thanks for having me.